Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we have another fantabulous show. You know how I know? Me neither. Actually, I'm just guessing. I'm hoping. Because I sometimes just get a piece of paper. It has a person's name on it. In this case, it's a gal named Deborah. He didn't write her last name. It's like, oh my God. But here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. What I do know is that I have a friend named Amanda Holmes. She's the daughter of Chet Holmes, Chet Holmes International. If you don't know who Chet Holmes is, he wrote a fantastic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. And I almost forgot the name of the book. So you understand, I am going to do an interview with a lady right now that my friend Amanda Holmes said, you got to know Deborah. And so here she is, simply Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hey, Alan.
No, actually, it is funny because he only wrote Deborah because that's how fast this thing went together. Deborah Bringelson, Bringelson, CEO of Your Strategic Solutions, LLC, or if you put a .com, yourstrategicsolutions.com, you can find her. But here is what's going to happen. So Amanda wanted me to talk to Deborah about doing a podcast. And so I called Deborah for just like 5 minutes, and I said, I got one piece of advice. And that one single piece of advice is to be authentically you. Did I not say that, Deborah?
That is absolutely what you said.
And here's why. Because if you are not authentically you, then you are just delivering information that you have learned from somebody else that you think you believe is the right stuff versus something that you have discovered on your own, and it is coming from the core of the soul of the human being that has learned this all the way to your bone marrow, and you want to help people to not have to suffer the way you have to learn that piece of information. And so the only way you can deliver that information is to be authentically you and to deliver that piece of information that you have learned from your soul to that next person's soul. And truly what it takes to do that is something called love. You got to love people. And the one thing I know about our mutual friend, Amanda Holmes, is that she's got more love for human beings than any number of people I've met, all inside that one little tiny person that she is. But she's such a big personality because the amount of love that exudes from her face and those big white pearly teeth when she smiles. Anyway, I'm going to send this to her. Hi, Amanda. But the point that I'm making here is I always ask people to fill out a little form online when they're going to be a guest. And so, Deborah, you filled out this thing, and you said something here that I was like, okay, yes, I'm going to interview her because this is a heavy thing to say to any people in business, any corporation, any company, and it's not even the number one thing that she was going to say, but here it is. The core of your business is damaged, period. The 7 questions you must ask. First of all, that is a bold statement. How do you know that's true, Deborah?
I've been growing businesses for about 30 years, and 100% of the companies that I've walked into, the core of their business is damaged or polluted. I've never walked into a company that didn't have that. And, you know, they contact me because their sales are declining or their marketing's not working. And sure, that's fine. You know, get a new app or whatever. It's not going to help you. You've got to deal with the fact that the foundation of the business is crumbling because people are fighting. HR is one of the biggest problems in companies. People are fighting or they're using substances or whatever's going on. 100% of the companies I've worked with in almost 30 years, the core of their business is polluted, and they won't change things if they don't clean up the pollution.
Woo-hoo! The core of your business is damaged, period. All right, we're going to ask you those 7 questions that you must ask. You, all you damaged corporations and companies out there, you know it's the truth. I know it's the truth because even my company at the core is damaged. You know why? Because I personally am not doing everything because there's too much for me to do. So guess what? It gets diluted, twisted, polluted. Here's another one. Deborah Bringelson says, your fancy apps and gimmicks are like putting lipstick on a pig and calling it a beauty queen. They don't work. Holy crap, holy. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Intriguing? I would say so. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Don't forget, pick up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands most everywhere. But everywhere on the entire planet, if you have Wi-Fi, you can find entrepreneur.com. And if you've got, you know, the internet, you can find the podcast of this show. It's also broadcast on some 30 or 40 radio stations around the country. And if you're listening on a radio station, thank you, radio station, for taking our show. There's just entrepreneurs everywhere coming out of the woodworks, and they need to know the truth. Some of the truth is stuff like this. The core of your business is damaged. That's what Deborah Bringelson says. She is the CEO of Your Strategic Solutions, LLC. You can find her online, yourstrategicsolutions.com. These are bold statements. I love fortune favors the bold. I love that. And I love the fact that, you know what? Most of us are looking, gosh, around the fringe, around the outer edges of, oh, what are we going to fix over here? We're going to fix over there. No, you got to look at the core. And this is true with our human self as well. If we don't fix the core of our character flaws, our human self, then how can we possibly fix our business? So really, we got to fix ourselves first. What do they say when you're on an airplane? Put the oxygen mask on yourself first, you big dummy, before you try and help the guy next to you, right? Deborah, where did you come up with this? What is the genesis of you actually coming up with this, the core of your business is damaged? That's such a bold statement.
Well, first of all, when I go into a company, I know the CEO typically because they're the one who brought me in. But then I really get to know the team. And I have confidential interviews and conversations with them. And it's like the CEO and the team don't work for the same company. And when they feel like they can be honest, there's a relief in telling the secrets. And I don't mean secrets like we've got to rip things apart, but telling the real stressors and the real problems. And they'll say things like, you know, this company's falling apart and we're not making the sales that we should be because, you know, this is not working right over in this department or the direction that we're getting or the leadership is bad or whatever it is. And you discover that, yeah, they're still making some sales because maybe they've got a good product, but things are not working as they should. You know, people are unhappy. Their HR is going crazy. People are leaving. Their superstars are leaving. One of the questions is, you know, do you have a team of superstars? Or do you have a team of B and C and D players? And what I find is in these companies where the core is polluted, they've got the D and C players. And they're not getting things done.
So what you're saying is when you said that, your fancy apps and gimmicks and all that are like putting perfume on a pig and calling it a beauty queen. The reason why you're saying that is if you don't fix the core of the problem, the nucleus of the problem, then it's just going to wick its way out into all these fancy things you're trying to do anyway. And people are going to learn sooner or later that this company or these products are screwed up. And they don't even know why. They're like, I don't want to mess with that. So you really have to, you got to dig deep to answer these questions. So can I ask you in our next, you know, we have like 7 or 8 more minutes still, but can you get started on the 7 questions you must ask to find out
absolutely
about, you know, being damaged like this?
Absolutely. So does your team show up with passion and they're excited about what they're doing? Or are they just, you know, I'm here for a paycheck. And, you know, I'm going to retire when I can retire. You want people walking in the door going, how do I make this experience better for my team members, for the company, for the customer? If they're not excited, which in corporate America, most of them are not. It's just a paycheck. Then you've got problems. Does the media notice what you're doing, and are they talking about it? Are you a company that they're like, yeah, this is a great company. They're putting out a great product, and people like being there. Mm. Does everyone on the team think like a CEO? You know, a CEO perspective is very different than, you know, just somebody who's showing up for a paycheck.
Right.
A CEO is trying to solve problems. So who are they when they show up?
Right. There, in other words, are they like entrepreneurs on the inside? I think that the entrepreneurs of our corporate world are not loved enough for having an opinion instead of just going along to get along. All right, we're going to continue on the 7 questions you must ask to find out if the core of your business is damaged. Deborah Bringelson says it is. 100% of the time it is. Also, she says here, what does quantum physics have to do with growing a business? We'll find out on the other side. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Welcome back to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So my guest, Deborah Bringelson, CEO of YourStrategicSolutions.com on the web. She is here saying some outlandish things that us business folks, us entrepreneurs, don't necessarily like to hear, but we know we need that tough love, that truth that comes from a loving soul that is not afraid to offend people, to tell them the truth. The core of your business is damaged. She's walking through the 7 questions you must ask as an entrepreneur. Here she is. How many did you give me so far? 3 or 4? I lost track.
I've given you 4. You okay. Ready for the last one?
Give them to me.
Okay. So are you micromanaging everything? You know, if you've got a great team and you've led them well, then you're not stressed out. Your spouse isn't on the verge of divorcing you because you're always at work. Your kids actually know who you are, and your stress levels aren't, you know, heading you toward a heart attack.
Right.
But most C-levels are micromanaging their businesses. Mm. And, you know, the next one is your company defined by respect? Or is there a lot of water cooler gossip and end running around and trying to control what's happening?
Right.
And the one of the really big tells, and this is where people go in and they, let's get a new app or let's get a new something or other. Leads and sales are flat, declining, maybe up a little bit, down a little bit. They're not consistently growing. And so if you're asking why does this make a difference, I'll tell you when it really hit me. Several years ago, I was working with a CEO who had 0 revenue for an entire 12-month period.
Cool.
Imagine that. No money for 12 months, right? We meet, and we start doing, you know, we work on the sales and the messaging and all of that. But the revenue isn't coming in. And I know, hey, I'm using a lot of this Chet Holmes stuff, so I know that it works, right?
Right. Ultimate sales
and
machine, right? Go ahead.
She's not making any money. And so I said, you know, I think there are some problems at an energetic level. So you ask, you know, what does quantum physics have to do with growing business?
Right.
And I said, let's clear out that negative energy out of you, the CEO, out of your team, and out of the business. So we started doing it. We started working at the quantum level. We started healing all of that, you know, negative energy and anger and, you know, people not following through or being passionate. She took her business from $0 in a 12-month period to $602 million.
What?
12 months later.
Oh, my gosh. That's
so
wild.
I had this experience.
Wait a minute. Hold
over
on.
Over and over again.
That's crazy stuff right there.
It is crazy stuff.
It's awesome.
It is crazy stuff. But the thing that's crazy is that's not just a one-off. I've seen this over and over and over and over again.
So I'm looking at this next one. Symptoms are not the problem. What they are and how to fix them. So you have obviously turned this into a science, this whole thing of kind of exploring, all right, let's dig deep into the core of these problems. It's going to take some tough love. Put on your big girl panties or your big boy boots or whatever you got to put on because we're about to get down and dirty. I mean, how do you even start this stuff with people?
Well, the first thing I do is I talk to the people who are there, which, you know what? Most companies are not talking to their people. You will get the most brilliant ideas and an understanding of what the problems are if you just talk to the people.
Yep.
So I talk to them, I find out what the problems are, and then I'm not afraid to address them, which most people, they don't want to address problems. Like, you know, if we ignore it, it'll go away.
Right,
no, if you ignore it, it'll burn your company down.
Right. Well, speaking of that, who is the biggest dragon breathing fire on your company? You'd be surprised. I'm not sure what that means, but give it to me.
Well, I don't know if people are going to want to hear this. Are you sure? You really want me to say?
Hey, tough love, baby.
Okay. The biggest dragon most of the time in any company is the CEO.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, because, you know, they're the ones at the top trying to say that they're a leader, but they're not actually leading. A lot of times they're micromanaging or they're suppressing problems. They're not giving their people room to fail. You know, people should be innovating and looking for solutions, but so many people are afraid of retribution. They try something and they fail, and we don't give them the space to learn from it and then take it to the next level.
Boy, doesn't
so
that,
often what
that,
I find
that
you know,
takes
I,
such
I
a good leader. I got to tell you, that takes such character and trust and faith out of that leader. Whoo! And let me tell you, I was not one of those guys, and I'm getting to that point. It don't come easy. Anyway, continue.
Well, and you know what? That's my role. My role is to help guide the CEO, protect the team, protect the CEO from, you know, the fallout, and then bring everything together at a much higher level. And that's when you get those explosive results. That's when you get people who show up and they're so excited to be there. They're looking for solutions. They're not just there for a paycheck.
Right.
That's when the companies explode and they see that, you know, 30 to 3,500% growth.
Wow. Well, all I can say is from what I see here, of course, thanks to Amanda Holmes for introducing us. I happen to love the tough questions. I love it when I see something like the core of your business is damaged. Boom, period. To me, that means somebody's asking those hard, hard questions. And I think that all CEOs and all employees really need to ask, are they doing the best that they can? A little Fleetwood Mac, go your own way. I think you have gone your own way, Deborah. Deborah Bringelson. And I think you need to be writing a daggone book, and you should call it The Core of Your Business is Damaged. Oh, my God. That would make people take a look. All right. YourStrategicSolutions.com on the web. Nice job, Deborah.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
It was fun. You guys, we got to take a look at ourselves deep, 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 deep. A hard look. If you're not honest with yourself, how can you be honest with anyone else? This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Welcome back to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our next guest, he's going to help us by helping us to understand, well, let me just tell you the name of his book. That's probably the best way. He's the author, or actually the co-author of Cracking Complexity, the breakthrough formula for solving just about anything fast. Oh, my God! Do I need this right now? Anyway, welcome back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. His name is David Komlos. He is the author, a co-author of Cracking Complexity. David, so here's the deal. We have a finite amount of time. So you're going to have to prove to us that you can crack the complexity of trying to explain your entire thesis and your life and the meaning of life in 21 total minutes. Go.
Okay, I just need 1 minute, Alan.
Okay.
And thank you for having me on.
Okay. 1 minute, that's okay. Well, then I get another guest to go behind you in that case because I got plenty of time here. No, seriously. So talk about this. First of all, you know, give us the genesis of the book. I mean, this obviously, it always comes from somewhere and you get the light bulb goes on and you go, my God, My buddy David Benjamin and I, we have tapped into the fountain of youth and knowledge and understanding. It could be that we're going to die because that's the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Right?
Period. Full stop. Absolutely. You know, David and I have been involved with a company called Syntegrity for many, many years. About 18 years into it, we said, we've got to write a book, and it really is on cracking complexity. Complexity is the biggest challenge that entrepreneurs face. It's the biggest challenge that the world faces, whether you're a society leader, a government leader, leader of an NGO, a sports team, a Hollywood studio, or a Fortune 500 company. It's that every once in a while, you're dealing with a challenge that has so many moving parts and so many people that have to be brought together and mobilized. It's really hard to do that at pace and at scale to achieve the kinds of outcomes you're looking to achieve, whether it's trying to grow faster or take cost out more sustainably or pivot as an entrepreneur or grow your sales or transform your organization or figure out how to deal with the opioid epidemic. Any of these kinds of big, multidimensional, big challenges, and we just have a way in which to make progress on these very, very quickly, how to solve the big challenges fast, how to mobilize people fast, and we've written a book on it that applies to you if you're an entrepreneur and you if you're a Fortune 500 CEO. Mm-hmm.
The name of your company, Syntegrity.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Give us a little bit on that.
Yeah, if I can go geek a little bit, it's a synergistic tensegrity, and basically it's all about how to bring balance, equilibrium, and synergy by leveraging the forces of compression and tension, how to embed friction and leverage it to get to a more stable place when there's lots of forces swirling around.
Syntegrity group.com on the web. Syntegrity Group. So complexity. We all sit in these meetings and somebody throws their idea on the table. Somebody else poo-poos the idea. Somebody else says, no, but we can. Somebody else says, how are you going to accomplish that? Now, complexity. And then they start throwing all of the things that are going to be in your way to do your thing. But I think that, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? So sometimes
That's right.
you just need to do something that you know is the right thing, but you haven't got a clear path, but you're going to just go. How do you find the team that backs you up, that helps you to solve these complex problems? To me, it takes a village, doesn't it?
It really does take a village, and not everybody in the village, and sometimes not everybody you need is from the village. There's a law that we go by. Most people haven't heard of it before, but it's really, really powerful. It's the law of requisite variety. The law of requisite variety says only variety can destroy variety. And what that means is when you're dealing with a big challenge with lots of moving parts, like I need to transform my business, or I got to grow sales once and for all, or I need to pivot and I'm not sure what to pivot to. The only way to absorb the variety of the situation is by bringing the right group of people together. And that group of people is going to be comprised of some of the usual suspects, usual decision makers, usual influencers, usual advisors. But it should also be comprised, depending on the challenge, of unusual suspects, people who might be part of your customer base or people who you could partner with or people who used to work for the regulator.
Oh, no. You said it. You said it. People you can partner with. To me, alliances are what is going to rebuild America. Strategic, wise alliances, partnering. Hold on, I'm gonna take a break. Oh my gosh, cracking complexity. The breakthrough formula to solving just about anything fast. David Komlos is with us. Syntegritygroup.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We're gonna come back and talk more about this. All on us from London back down to the U.S. As we rockin' this contagious monkey business, outrageous. Just confess. Well, Entrepreneur Magazine is on newsstands most everywhere and around the world. You'll see it in different versions, even in India. You can find us online at entrepreneur.com. Entrepreneur Media doing all kinds of great things. And this podcast is one of many. Please go to entrepreneur.com. Check out all the different great podcasts and entrepreneurs that are, you know, giving advice out there. David Komlos is on the line with us. He is co-author of Cracking Complexity, the breakthrough formula for solving just about anything fast. What is this formula, David? I'm curious. I know you've probably got chapters in your book, but maybe in a nutshell.
So this formula is about solving things fast and mobilizing people fast around the solution. The way it starts is by framing what you want to solve in the form of a question, right? What do we have to do starting now and over the next year to grow faster? Or what do we have to do now and over the next 90 days to, you know, launch this joint venture? Or what should we pivot to and what's it going to take to get there? Whatever your challenge is, you want to frame it in the form of a really, really good question. And if you think about the challenge you're faced with and the opportunity you're looking to seize, it won't take you very long to frame it in a really good question, which really is the invitation to a broader group of people within your company and sometimes from outside your company to help you answer that question. Mm-hmm. Now, when you have that question, then it really comes down to who do I need to answer that question with me? Whose buy-in do I need? Whose knowledge and talent do I need to leverage in order to get to really good answers? And as I was mentioning earlier, in terms of requisite variety, that group you choose is really pivotal. You want to think about the usual suspects, the people who are to your right and left who are going to be blocking and tackling with you. But you also want to bring in the people you don't normally collide with, the people you don't normally interact with, potential customers, existing customers, your advisory board, your investors, outside experts, and so on and so forth. And it's the combined talent and knowledge and information and data and influence of that group. If you can combine it, if you can get it together and get it riffing together and attacking that question together, you've got a good chance of answering that question and having everyone bought in to, you know, actioning the answers.
Right. You know, when I'm looking at all this, and I think whenever I see the word fast, and, you know, I think that there's certain expectations that go along with that. And so I want to reverse this for a moment, because I also notice in here, as I'm just kind of scanning through things, that you talk about that you must also patiently allow the right answers to emerge. And when you're thinking about, oh, I've got a problem, I need a solution, I need it fast, patience usually is not the first thing that comes to mind. Maybe you can riff on that.
Yeah. I mean, we had the fable of the tortoise and the hare where, you know, the moral of the story is sometimes you have to go slow to go fast. And you do sometimes need to go slow in order to go fast. But in today's world, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a Fortune 500 CEO, sometimes the challenges you're dealing with don't afford you the luxury of going slow so that you can then go fast. And so really today's imperative is to be able to go fast in going slow to go fast. And so when we talk about going fast, we're talking about needing to make high quality decisions around which everyone is aligned in 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm. McKinsey just came out and said most organizations, 80% of organizations, make a trade-off between high quality decisions and making them fast. And only 20% of the organizations out there are able to make high quality decisions fast. And we've been saying that for years. And the formula is all about not making that trade-off. It's about teaching people, showing people, equipping people for how to make high quality decisions fast. And a third element, which McKinsey doesn't really talk about, how to get people bought into those decisions. Because even if you can make a high quality decision fast, if you don't have critical mass buy-in from your business, no matter how small it is or how big it is, you're not going to see execution happen at the pace you need it to.
It's funny. I just watched the movie Ford versus Ferrari the other day, and I'm a big car guy. And when I'm hearing you here, I remember going through racing schools and all these, you know, rally driving schools. And the one thing that the instructor would always say about going through the turns is slow in, fast out. And it's kind of counterintuitive because, you know, you're like, I'm racing, I got to go fast in. But if you take a turn in a car, there is something called physics at work, and you take a turn too fast and then you're not going to come out because you're going to spin out. And,
totally.
You know, in business, it's the same way. Sometimes you have to learn this thing called calm. And I find that through doing this radio show, you know, it's been years now that I've been doing this and asking so many successful business people, you know, what is it you do to calm yourself? You know, I remember asking, matter of fact, the president of Porsche. I said, okay, you're the president of a, you know, gigantic sports car company that is all about fast. And he says, and I said, what do you do? He says, well, I do two things. One, I meditate. And two, I do something that is completely outside of the world of, you know, the car world that he's in. He says, I learned how to fly. And he goes, when I'm flying, I'm in my Zen space. And so I find that there's, you know, people that are in this position that have complex businesses and lives, they have to do two things. One is to step away and do something completely different. You know, if you're in like the car business, your airplanes or horses or fishing or whatever it is. I happen to love fishing and cars and not so much horses. But anyway, the point that I'm making is that they also tend to have a meditative time in their day. And I'm just curious, have you found any of that? Is that any of this baked into your strategy?
Absolutely. This is what we mean by taking an iterative approach with lots of pauses, but concentrated pauses. Mm. Part of the I like listening to what you were just saying. When you're dealing with a fast, complex challenge where all the moving parts are coming at you fast and furious, the way to calm yourself is to step away, but to also acknowledge that you're dealing with something that's bigger than you are. And it's not going to be enough for you to have a pause and a think on your own. You're going to have a pause and a think with many other people. And if you have those other people with you and you are in deep dialogue with those other people, that is what's going to calm the situation.
You have to bring people together in person to solve a complex problem. Face-to-face must be a big thing with you guys in your book.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, technology is amazing. Video conferencing is amazing. Teleconferences, etc. You know, the technology advanced amazingly. And most of the time, you don't necessarily have to be in the room face-to-face. But when you're dealing with something that gets at the heart of behavior and how people are going to behave and what people really feel and what is moving them and when they're not being moved, you only grok that when you're together. You only build trust really in a deep way, rapport really in a deep way when you're together. And that's what allows you to then go separate and do what you have to do with the trust that you've established while being together.
So this is the Eagles, Life in the Fast Lane. And if you entrepreneurs out there are listening to this and you realize that you have a complex life, or maybe you're dealing with the complexity of some issue right now, you can check out SyntegrityGroup.com. David Pomlos, he's going to come back and you're going to put on your professor's cap. And now you're going to teach us how to do this. We've been talking about it. We're going to change it up a little bit and you're going to teach us. We'll be right back. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance. Well, joining us now is David Pomlos. He is the professor. He's going to, give us an example of what it's like to have one of those meetings we all dread to go to because we know that we've got problems, we've got complex problems, and he hopefully can give us an example of what that supreme leadership would be, the calm leader, the leader that brings people together so that they can actually solve just about anything fast, is what he says. The book is Cracking Complexity, the breakthrough formula for solving just about anything fast. Again, David, so I think it's really important for people to see how a person in the leadership role should and could lead a meeting when we've got problems. The team is all here. You've got probably, I don't know, maybe a third of a million people listening right now, as far as the nationally syndicated broadcast and then podcast to entrepreneurs all around the world. You're leading us now. We've got a problem. Give us kind of the ins and outs of doing something like this.
Okay, Alan. So let's say you've brought your team together because you're launching a product. You're launching it in 6 months. you've been thinking about the product that's been developed by your R&D, you know, and it's time to go. Your question might be, what do we have to do to become number one in our category over the next 6 months, you know, at launch? So you've got the right group in place. You've brought, you know, your marketing agency in. You've got people from various levels. You've got your sales leaders, your marketing leaders, your product leaders. You got your decision makers, the leadership team. You might have 10, 12, 15, 20 people around a table.
Right.
Spend the first 10% of your 2 hour or 3 hour or 6 hour meeting, however long it is. Spend the first 10% coming up with the agenda. In other words, as a leader, come up with the question that your team needs to answer, but don't tell them what they have to talk about. Let them tell you what they have to talk about. 5, 6 different agenda items. So once they identify the agenda items, whether it's who's the customer, what's the message, what are our launch tactics, how are we sustaining momentum, you know, who are we getting after, who's doing what, et cetera, those are different topics. Divide the team up into smaller groups to talk about each of those topics. And don't just put people on teams that are talking about the topics. Assign them as members of a topic or as critics of a topic. And make it a fair process so everyone needs to play those roles an equal number of times on the various topics.
This is good.
Yeah, so members are going to talk about a topic, and their job is to advance that topic as far as they possibly can in service of answering this big, like, how do we become number one in the category question. Critics are going to be listening very carefully to the members, and you're going to invite the critics twice during a half-hour meeting to give their critique on what they think could be going better. Now, when you use the member and critic role, it makes people contribute differently and it makes people listen differently. If you've got 5 different topics that you've identified that you have to explore to answer this launch question, go through them once. So 1 meeting, 2nd meeting, 3rd meeting, 4th meeting, 5th meeting, member critic in each meeting. Capture what you're talking about in each meeting, feed it forward, and then run those meetings again. So once you've been through your 5 meetings, start from the top and go again. And even if it's a 2 hour long overall session that you've brought these people together for, or even it's a 1 day session, try to get through at least 2 rounds of meetings on each of the different topics and see how the cross-pollination and the candid dialogue really moves the needle further than you would normally get in a 2 hour or 6 hour meeting. At the end, only at the end, not at the beginning, not in the middle, only at the end, come up with your final recommendations and decisions around what you're going to do to properly launch this product and capture category leadership.
I like it, man. I really do. I think that what I kind of like about the whole thing is, where are you as the leader? Are you sitting back watching? Are you just walking from group to group, listening in? That's maybe my thought is, as the leader, where are you?
That's a great question. In my experience, depending on the situation, the leader will do what you just painted a picture of, which is sit back, maybe make him or herself or their self a permanent critic, never be a member of any of the teams, just be a critic.
Right.
Other times they're an equal participant, and it really depends on the judgment of the leader. How contentious is this challenge? Am I someone who dominates too much? Are people going to speak openly if I'm at every table all the time? Am I going to dominate?
Right. All good stuff, my friend, all good. And I think as a leader, it's very important to be present. Not just standing there in the room, but consciously present while you're trusting your group, your team, to help you solve a complex issue. David Komlos, SyntegrityGroup.com on the web. Very good. Very interesting. Thought-provoking. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Alan.
All right. SyntegrityGroup.com on the web. Go check it out. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.